God's grace and Christ's peace be with you all. Before this sermon again, I would like to direct your attention to the announcements that are at the end of the service here at the website. Please remember that next Sunday, July 5th, we are going to meet at St. David's Trinity. Our numbers are such, and we have the protocols such, that we're going to try to hold a service there. And as well, we're going to have our annual general meeting, which we've had to postpone. So next Sunday, July 5th, at 5:30, we will have the annual general meeting. And then at 7 o'clock, we will have our worship service. Everything there for having a safe environment will be provided, but what would be very helpful is that we all need to wear a mask. So if you have a face mask, please bring that with you, because we will be required to wear a mask during the service. Also, please look at the announcement for co-treasurer. That we're still looking for a co-treasurer, and if you're interested in that position, please let me know. And also the note that this coming week is both July 1st Canada Day and July 4th is Independence Day, the 4th of July in the United States. And so our closing hymn, "This Is My Song," is that recognition and prayer for our nations and for a world at peace. The sermon for today is again based on the gospel lesson in Matthew. Matthew chapter 10 is a chapter about discipleship. Chapter 10 started with Jesus' command to move out as he sent out the disciples. And their task was that they were to proclaim and enact God's way of grace and love. But Jesus also presents them with warnings. The warnings that as you indeed preach and enact that way of grace and love, you will be ignored, resisted, rejected from those who do not want to live according to the way of grace and love. You will face conflict, division, discord, and animosity. And yet, in spite of all of this, in this way of speaking and acting, we as disciples will find genuine life. Life that is not just for us individually, but life that will entail our family, our community, indeed, all people, and so wide as to include all creation. In today's reading, Jesus becomes very specific in what he talks about with the disciples. And that is that one major and concrete word and action of discipling is welcoming. Now, very particularly, Jesus is talking about those who will welcome the disciples. But as we look at this more broadly, we see that indeed welcoming is a part of discipleship. Welcoming is part of who we are as disciples, to those who are disciples and to those who are not. This understanding of welcoming contrasts with the previous hostility that Jesus has just spoken about in terms of conflict and division and discord. The Greek word for welcome, dexomai, literally means to receive. And so here, welcoming is not so much an active thing that we do. Welcoming is not that sense of inviting someone over to our place or inviting someone into the community, but it's more of that sense in the notion of someone is there, and indeed, are you willing? Are you open to receive those who come into your life, who come into your community? This sense of welcome here is more in terms of reception and openness. And that kind of intentionality and attitude on our part. The understanding of welcoming becomes so concrete and specific by Jesus that he says, whoever gives even a cup of cold water to one of these little ones is welcoming. Little ones here refers not only to children, but indeed to all of the disciples, to all of those who come forward. But what's key here is that little word that we could easily overlook, even. Whoever gives even a cup of cold water, even intensifies this sense of welcome. Even can be understood as being so surprisingly small. For us in our life together with St. David's Trinity, even comes into focus with the sense of sensitivity to Reverend Bill's allergies, that even the smell of peppers will cause a strong allergic reaction in Reverend Bill. Something so surprisingly small as just the smell sets off the reaction. Or even can mean extremely unlikely. It's not even possible that we'll be having worship services as usual by next week. Not even possible, extremely unlikely. And so in our sense of welcoming, that notion of welcoming can be understood as being so surprisingly small or considered extremely unlikely that such a small action would be considered one of genuine welcoming. Indeed, can it be that even giving a child, one who is the least, one who is vulnerable, a cup of cold water, is all it takes to be welcoming? Yes, it is, Jesus says, but even isn't that easy. Even challenges our intentions to be gracious and loving. Let me give you an example. And as a background, I want you to know I love my children. But many of you who are parents and grandparents have gone through a situation similar to this. it's winter time and it's trying to get your kindergartner or grade one little one ready for school. And as you get them ready, you ask them, now, did you go to the bathroom before we put on your snowsuit and get you off to school? And they say, I don't need to go. Are you sure? Yes, I don't need to go. Okay. And so you put on the coat and the snow pants and the boots and the gloves and the scarf, and you've got them all bundled up and you're ready to go out the door so they can meet the bus. And what happens? Mom, Dad, I gotta go to the bathroom. Great. Even one who undresses a child totally bundled up in their snowsuit to go to the bathroom exercises welcoming. Now, of course, you're going to undress that child and go through all the rigmarole again. But is our intention at that moment gracious, loving, welcoming? At times it is difficult to engage in even those surprisingly small ways of welcome. What are some of the evens of welcoming in which we engage a King of Glory? Some of those evens are simply acknowledging St. David's Trinity as our brothers and sisters in Christ. The evens of our quilters, of our support for Lutheran campus ministry, of folks who volunteer at Luther Care communities, our support for the Alzheimer's Society or the Lutheran ministry to hospitals in Saskatoon, our buying of Vacation Bible School supplies for On Eagle's Wings, putting together Christmas hampers, encouraging Back to Church Sunday, being involved in the AIDS Walk or the Gay Pride Worship Service. Even these surprisingly small things seem extremely unlikely for practicing welcoming, but indeed they are. But at the same time, while we engage in these as gracious and loving acts, carried out as Jesus wishes, at times even they can become tedious, and we seem to get tired, impatient, frustrated with carrying out even these seemingly small acts of welcome. But we are to remember that every act of generosity is an act of hospitality and welcome. And no word or action is too small. And that is because no word or action does not have consequences. Grace is unconditional. And so is the spoken word and the actions of grace. But that grace, spoken or enacted, will always have an effect. It will have consequences. There's a lot of talk about heroes going on currently. Those who serve in the military, are often called heroes. The police sometimes called heroes, firefighters. In this pandemic, healthcare workers and those engaged in essential services are called heroes. But to give a cup of cold water to a child would hardly place you in that category of hero. If you were to rescue a child from a burning building, then you would be a hero. But Jesus' way of thinking is to say whether you give a cup of cold water to a child or rescue a child from a burning building, hero is not the appropriate epithet to apply. Rather, who you are is a genuine disciple. You are simply living out your faith. Each and every day, no matter where you may be, even when in virtual lockdown because of the COVID-19 pandemic. Discipleship is always practicing this sense of welcome. And this sense of welcoming is a very complex experience. Let me present some of the components that are involved in welcoming. First and foremost, to be welcoming entails courage, or perhaps we could say faith. To be welcoming, it is to have the courage. It is believing that Christ is at work in you and through you in everything you do, even in all the insignificant stuff. Indeed, precisely it might be in all that insignificant stuff where Christ is at work. And the question is, really? Do you really believe that Christ is at work in you and through you in all that you do? Welcoming means that courage of faith. Welcoming also is that sense of openness and inclusiveness. This fits with the receiving understanding of welcoming. To be welcoming is to say to the one which you receive, to say to that one, you belong. You are a vital part of this community. And it's not simply to saying, okay, now you can come and sit and take your place and watch and observe everything we do, but that welcoming, that openness and inclusiveness involves participation. Engaging with the other such that they too participate in this discipleship of welcoming. Welcoming involves compassion and care for the other. Welcoming involves advocacy, to speak out on behalf of those who are vulnerable, who are overlooked, who are discarded or ignored. Advocacy means that we speak out for the dignity of all people. It goes back as far as creation itself, remembering that each and every one of us has been created in the image of God. And anyone or anything which would want to disfigure and distort that image must be spoken out against. That we advocate all are created in the image of God. Advocacy is part of welcoming. And so too is generosity. To welcome someone is to be generous toward them. Generosity is our response to grace. All that we have is a gift from God. And so as disciples, we practice that understanding of giving, of gifting, with gratitude. And generosity is the way in which we welcome God's grace toward us, and generosity is the way we practice God's grace toward others. Welcoming also involves kindness. Kind comes from the Old English word kin, and we know who kin are. Our kin is that group united by common traits or interests. And kindness entails the kind of forbearing and considerateness and helpfulness that we show toward that with whom we have things in common. Welcoming shows kindness in that, again, as it leads to openness and inclusiveness, that sense of we are forbearing and considerate toward all, because God's grace and love has been shed toward all. Welcoming is a transformation in our relationship toward others. Welcoming can become difficult because through welcoming, through that sense of openness and compassion, advocacy, generosity, kindness, we recognize that we are not totally in control. We receive. Someone has come to us. It may not have been planned. It may not have been expected. It may not have been what we want. But we are not in control. These little ones have come to us, and now we welcome. And there is one thing that undergirds all of our welcoming. The letter, John's first letter, has the phrase, "We love because God first loved us." And we could change that as well for today's lesson to say, "We welcome because God first welcomed us." The life, death, and resurrection of Jesus proclaims indeed how God has welcomed us. And that death and resurrection is what now empowers us to welcome others. To have been welcomed by God means that God's faithfulness toward showing grace and love toward us has never gone astray. God's openness, compassion, advocacy, generosity, kindness, and transformative relationship has all been there in welcoming. And now we put these same characteristics to work as in word and action, we welcome others. Even in such a small, surprising way as providing cold water to those most vulnerable. Amen.